just pause. We'll give members opportunity just to go through the bill, read through it, and so on. And then we'll, as soon as we've got the member here, we will give the legal advice an opportunity. Thank you.
Can I just ask, in terms of process, are we first going to have Mr. Prince do the overview, and then in clause by clause we can make proposals for amendments and edits? Okay, all right.
They already brought lunch, but if members, if we can just wait, you know, that we conclude this process and then we'll go to lunch, okay? That's fine.
Thanks. Sorry, Chair, can I just ask, I think Honourable Mark and I might have been on the same wavelength. Do we need a quorum in order to just go through the bill and for members to make inputs?
Just join us. Welcome to the members. Right. Mr. Prince, you're welcome to go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honourable members, colleagues and guests. Chair, today we've got the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Bill before us. So on the cover page of the bill, we've got the short title of the bill. And then we've got a brief description of the process of the bill as followed. So it says there, as initiated by the Portfolio Committee on Police as a committee bill for introduction in the National Assembly, proposed Section 75 bill, that's the proposed tagging of the bill, classification. And then there's a history of the prior notification that was given. And it was published in Gazette number 41667 on the 1st of June 2018. And a statement that the English text is the official text of the bill, and then just a reference to the Portfolio Committee on Police who initiated the bill. Page 2 of the bill's got an explanatory note on top for amendment bills. This is an indicator how amendments are to be read in this bill. Then we move on to the first bold section after the word bill is the long title. It's a brief description of what the bill is about. So this is the IFPIT. So this bill seeks to amend the IFPIT Act so as to provide for parliamentary oversight in relation to the suspension, discipline, or removal of the executive director and for matters and for related matters. The section under that with the bold B is the enactment provision, which says that Parliament's got the legislative authority to enact this bill. And then we get into the crux of the bill, which is the first clause, which seeks to amend Section 6 of the IFPIT Act, which is Act 1, which is Act 1 of 2012. Clause 1 amends Section 6 of the Act by the repeal of Subsection 6, which deals with the removal of the Executive Director. C- Clause 2 inserts a proposed Section 6 capital A into the Act. This section sets out the process to be followed to remove the Executive Director. The process is now subject to parliamentary scrutiny. So I'm not going to go into detail with the exact process. It is exactly what we went through yesterday. It starts by saying that these are the only instances when the Executive Director may be removed. Parliament must adopt a resolution with a supporting vote of at least two-thirds. And then goes on to say when the Minister may suspend the Executive Director and when the Minister must remove the Executive Director. It also deals with instances where the Executive Director may vacate his or her office on his or her request, and it gives the circumstances when that may happen. And then finally it says by when that request must reach the Minister. And then finally, Chair, Clause 3 is the short titling commencement of the bill. And it says that this bill is officially called the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Bill of 2018 and would come into operation on a date to be determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. So that is the bill. I don't know if you want me to go through the memorandum on the objects. So it starts with an introduction. It starts ultimately with a Constitutional Court judgment in McBride versus the Minister of Police and another, wherein the Constitutional Court found certain legislative provisions invalid to the extent that these provisions authorized the Minister of Police to suspend the Executive Director of IPED, to take any disciplinary steps pursuant to such suspension, or to remove the Executive Director of IPED. And those provisions were Section 63A and 66 of the IPED Act. Section 16 capital A1, 16B, 17(1) and 72 of the Public Service Act, Regulation 13 of the IPED regulations for the operation of the IPED, The court further provided a reading in for Section 66 of the IPED Act with reference to Sections 17D, capital D, capital A, sub 3 to 7 of the South African Police Service Act of 1995. The court directed Parliament to correct these defects in the legislation within a period of 24 months. The judgment was handed down on the 6th of September 2016. And this bill intends to correct those defects identified by the Constitutional Court. Objects of the bill is to amend the IPED Act in order to provide for parliamentary oversight in relation to the suspension, discipline, or removal of the Executive Director. Content of the bill, as previously stated, Clause 1 amends Section 6 of the IPED Act by repealing Subsection 6, which deals with the removal of the Executive Director. Clause 2 now inserts a Section 6 capital A into the IPED Act, which sets out the process for the removal and suspension of the Executive Director, and would subject that process to parliamentary oversight. Clause 3 is the short titling commencement of the bill. The financial implications was stated that there are no financial implications in connection with the bill. The departments, bodies, or persons consulted was the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service and the IPED. Paragraph 6 deals with the parliamentary procedure. The first 6.1 confirms the tagging of the bill as a Section 75 bill, as its provisions do not in a substantial manner deal with any functional area of concurrent national or provincial jurisdiction, competence listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution. And 6.2 says that the committee is of the opinion that it is not necessary to refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of Section 18(1A) of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. Since the bill does not contain provisions pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities. That's the end of the bill, sir. Thank you.
Members, we will allow opportunity for questions, queries. Yes, any questions? inputs, we will go clause by clause, but if there's any questions in terms of procedure or substance, you're welcome. Yes, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. If I may ask, going to page 5, clause, under clause 6.2, is it legally correct to say the committee is of the view, but what is the actual view in terms of the processes? Because it's like we're making our own rules in terms of the amendment of the bill, in terms of the process that needs to be followed through, because you're saying that it's not necessary that we take it to the NCOP because of the reasons. And I'm saying probably it's us as a committee needs to engage on that, because legally speaking, we should be stating that because legally it doesn't need to because of the taking of the bill. I'm not too sure, but I'm just not, I've got some discomfort legally speaking. Thank you. I'm not a legal person, I'm just, yeah.
Welcome, Member. Mr. Prince, can you please respond? Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. My apologies if there was confusion. 6.2 is not relating to the tagging, Member. 6.2 does not say that we don't propose that the bill go to the NCOP. The bill must go to the NCOP. All bills must go through both houses of Parliament. 6.2 speaks to the need for this bill to go to the National House of Traditional Leaders. And we're saying that it's not a requirement for us to send the bill there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. Clarified. Right, members, can we then go clause by clause? Can we go to clause 1, the amendment of section 6 of Act 1 of 2011? Yeah. Dr. Kinnis?
Amendment of Section 6 of Act 1 of 2011. 1. Section 6 of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Act 2011, Act Number 1 of 2011, herein after referred to as the Principal Act, till inverted commas, is hereby amended by the repeal of subsection 6.
Get a proposal. Can we move to clause 2? Dr. Kinnis.
Insertion of section 6A into the Act 2011. 2. The following section is hereby inserted after section 6 of the Principal Act. Open inverted commas, removal from office of the Executive Director. 6A, open 1. The Executive Director may only be removed from office on the grounds of misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence, A, on a finding to that effect by a committee of the National Assembly, and B, the adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for that person's removal from office. 2, the National Assembly may adopt a resolution contemplated in subsection 1B with a supporting vote of at least 2/3 of its members. 3, the Minister A may suspend the Executive Director from office at any time after the start of the proceedings of a committee of the National Assembly for the removal of that person, and B must remove the Executive Director from office upon adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for the Executive Director's removal. 4, the Minister may allow the Executive Director at his or her request to vacate his or her office, A, on account of continued ill health, or B, for any other reason which the Minister deems sufficient. 5, the Executive Director must address the request contemplated in subsection 4 to the Minister at least 6 calendar months prior to the date on which the Executive Director wishes to vacate his or her office unless the Minister grants a shorter period in a specific case.
Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just two proposed insertions or amendments under subclause 6A1A and then B. The first proposal for subclause 6A1A would just be to give some more clarity based on the question I had raised yesterday. I'll just read the text slowly with the relevant punctuation so that it hopefully comes across clearly. So it would start, the executive director may only be removed from office on the ground of misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence, A, on a finding to that effect by a committee of the National Assembly, and here starts the insertion, at the conclusion of proceedings for the removal of that person, comma, which must be preceded by a parliamentary inquiry according to the relevant rules of the National Assembly. So that's about proposing a trigger process for the removal proceedings, which then concludes in the finding of the committee, which triggers the resolution, just so there's a process flowchart clarity. And then the second proposed amendments is really just a technical cleaning up one, which is to merge 6A2 into 6A1B by deleting 6A2 as it stands, so that 6A1B reads, the adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for that person's removal from office with a supporting vote of at least two-thirds of its members. Because 6A2 right now is simply specifying or stipulating that the resolution passes with a two-thirds member vote, but B already clarifies or already sets up that the NA adopt a resolution upon a finding by a committee. So there's no need to separate the adoption of the resolution and that it has to be a two-thirds one. That can be one statement. I hope that's clear. I'm happy to repeat any part of that for members.
Thank you, Honourable Mbele. Is the seconder for that proposal? Right? Yes, Honourable Marke.
No, it's not a second.
Yeah, I'll come to you, so Honourable, Honourable Marke. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what Honourable Mbele has just done is just shifting of weights from here and there. But legally, this thing, he's saying the same thing. And I think 6A2 has reference to 1B. So I think that is how the legal jargon goes. And I don't see any reason why we should do that. Because even the insertion on 6A1 is addressed in 3. So I don't see any reason why we should change. Otherwise, we would be writing an essay, and in law, I don't think they write an essay. This is the way they write things, which personally I don't like anyway. Thank you.
So I just want to give the indication. There's a proposal by Honourable Markey. Is the other members in support or not of that proposal? Not in support. Is Honourable Mula?
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the Honourable Marke.
Colonel Bonner?
Yeah, I think the proposal answers the question of who should be doing the investigation to determine misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence, because that's not detailed. Who is it supposed to be? This whole committee who suddenly acts as judge and jury? I think it is run by parliamentary process, which has just been detailed by Honourable Bele.
Thank you for that input. Other members? Mr. Prince, you want to comment?
No, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's two opposing views, so we will have to put the question, unless there's further discussion on the issue as it stands currently. Yes, Honourable Member?
Before we go to decide, may I ask from through you, Honourable Chair, from Honourable Ben, are you saying that they, in terms of 6A, in, 6, I'll tell you just now, that 6A, yes, I'm right, that it refers to the committee, which from where I'm seated, fortunately I was here yesterday when you raised the issue as well, that it makes reference to the committee, which is the Portfolio Committee on Police. And you are saying that the Portfolio Committee of Police must investigate and then also make a recommendation to say there must be a commission. And that's what you are implying. Because my logic, if I may continue, I might be wrong, but in terms of process as well, is to say the committee obviously can't come to a conclusion without having done something and evidence calling people, which in a way, without calling for a commission, but it's their work in terms of their own also oversight role to say what are the reasons and get necessarily documentation and counter views in terms of defense and defending and all those things and then come to a conclusion there. So which means the commission, for me, from where I'm sitting, will be taking away the role of the portfolio committee as it were. Because taking from the lessons of the previous commission commissions that we have, like SAPC one, the actual fundamental issue is that the portfolio committee are not doing their oversight role. And the commission tend then to do overlapping, which means ordinarily the committee should be doing that anyway in terms of their mandate. So I'm seeking clarity so that I can have a more understanding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. You're welcome to respond.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Honourable Member for the question. So it's half what he's alluding to and have something else. My proposed amendments are not about clarifying who carries out the process, because the draft bill as it stands now simply states a committee of the National Assembly. Now, as Mr. Prince said yesterday in response to a question of mine, sensibly, generally this process would happen through and be carried by the Police Portfolio Committee because the IPIT falls within that portfolio. But technically, because it simply says a committee of the National Assembly, it could, for whatever reason, also be an ad hoc committee, for example. But that's not the point I'm arguing. The point I'm arguing is to connect the dots, because what 6A1 does is provide for two things. It provides for a finding of misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence against the ED, which then would be followed by the adoption of the National Assembly of a resolution calling for their removal by two-thirds. What 6A3 does is provide for the ED to be suspended at the start of proceedings for removal, which I think might need some definition, but that's a different story. But in the mix of making the finding by that committee and the initiation of removal proceedings, which would then trigger the or empower the minister to then suspend the ED, that kind of mid-process, you know, like how does it start? And that's why I'm clarifying that a parliamentary inquiry based on the relevant NA rules would be where it starts. So if the minister or a member of the public or an IPUD staff member has a complaint, knowing that the whole process has to be carried through Parliament, it would, I assume, go to the Speaker's office, who would then refer it here. What my proposal does is it allows the committee to know, all right, the first thing we do with this complaint is an inquiry process with reference to the NA rules. Because right now that is not spoken to. It's implied, as Mr. Prince indicated, there are various mechanisms at the disposal of a parliamentary committee. But I would like to move from implicit to explicit. That's what I'm doing.
Yes, Honourable Marquet.
Thank you, Chairperson. I still maintain what I said. I think what he's saying can be in the regulations. Doesn't belong into this type of thing, even if I don't understand it carefully. I mean, the processes, you don't get processes in the Act itself or in the bill. So I still maintain that everything is covered in it.
Right. It seems, in terms of the, let's say, the various point of views, Honourable Bailey, your amendment is not going to carry unless you want to put it to a vote. Yeah, let's put it to a vote.
Yes, I'm extraordinarily eager to put it to a vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. maybe if you can just repeat your proposal, that we just can, ensure that, I don't want to say Reverend, but Dr. Keenis can just read it to us. And then we will vote on that amendment.
Perhaps for the sake of process, can I just show Mr. Kinnis my laptop for him to read it and table it to the committee, and then we can vote. Yeah.
Dr. Kinnis, can you maybe just then read the proposed amendment by Honourable Bailey? Thank you.
Chair, on the proposed amendment is that 6A1A should read as follows. The Executive Director may only be removed from office on the grounds of misconduct, incapacity or incompetence. A. At the conclusion of the proceedings for the removal of that, on a finding to that effect by a committee of the National Assembly, at the conclusion of proceedings for the removal of that person, which must be preceded by a parliamentary inquiry according to the relevant rules of the National Assembly. That is the first one, Chair. And then B, the adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for that person's removal from office, with a supporting vote of at least two-thirds of its members. Two will then fall away, if I get it correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kinnis. Does that, Honourable Bailey, encapsulate your proposal? Right. Can we then get an indication of those members who's in favor of the amendment? Thank you. Those against? Thank you. It seems that the amendment is therefore not approved. Yeah, no, that's fine. Members, we will then move to the next clause 3. Dr. Kinnis?
Clause 3, short title and commencement. This act is called the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Act 2018 and comes into operation on a date to be determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. We'll stop.
Right, let me get a proposal. Thank you. Seconder? Thank you very much. Is there any objections or to this specific clause from any other members? Disagreement? Thank you, members. Okay, yeah. Members, we will have to then deal with the report first before we adopt the whole bill. The report has been, I think, distributed. So I'll give an opportunity. Yes.
Yeah, I've gone through. I've got edits if you'd like me.
Yes, please. No, I mean, I also picked up something, so let's go to page 1. Yes, page 1.
If I may. In the first sentence, and I'm not sure where the acronym should be. Should it be in the heading or the first sentence, the IPID? Wherever I put it in the first sentence, the Portfolio and Committee of Police having initiated the Independent Police Investigative, and then I would put in IPED, bill, before bill. I would cross out the committee because you've repeated yourself, recommends, etc. Under introduction, the and then I think you must stick with IPED throughout, because you've now used it once. So the IPED. Amendment bill, etc. Third line, the draft IPID again. You can use IPID again. The next paragraph, starting the purpose of the bill. All right, line 4. You have 2 that should be written out in full. IPID Act within 2 years. Under constitutional court judgment. Second line, the executive director of the IPID. Yes, and that's all I have on that page, Chair.
Just give members an opportunity on page 1 if there's anything. I'll allow a few seconds.
Shall I say the first paragraph? The Portfolio Committee on Police, having initiated the Independent Police Investigative Directorate.
Yes, Honourable. Thanks, Chair. I think further to that, should we not be sort of clear that it's an amendment bill?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It might be a semantic point, but the last line under 1, introduction, I think that should read Parliament to remedy the Act, because it's the existing Act that's to be remedied by the amendment bill.
Colleagues?
Chair, if I may, right down at the bottom, second to last paragraph, starting the Portfolio Committee on Police, the second line, in order to make sure that the defects in the bill were cured, is that a legal phrase? Sounds like something you do to a ham. Cured as per Is that the right phrase? But anyway, if it would be past tense, it's were, yes?
Right, colleagues, we're on page 2.
May have been thinking about something else with that top first line on page 3. 16 March 2018, the committee resolved to amend the Act in order to strengthen the AGSA. I think that was referring to the Public Audit Bill.
Yeah, we'll maybe ask the draft just to look again at the short title.
It should be the iPad
actually. Yeah, just maybe a factual thing in paragraph 3. Remember there was one joint presentation by Civilian Secretariat for Police and iPad, and then there was one separate one. So we must just maybe that sentence, the iPad Police Investigator made one additional submission, just to make it correct. Was the one was joint, yeah, and the other one was separate.
Chairperson, are we on page 2 or 3?
We moved to 3, but you're welcome to the extension of 3, you're welcome.
Under 3, the first paragraph, the last sentence, shouldn't Bill be in capital letters?
Two, three,
the last sentence of the first paragraph. Consultation with the following stakeholders before the bill would be approved by Cabinet.
Yes, Honorable Calabara.
Page 3, second paragraph, starts, the committee received permission from the National Assembly, if you put a the in there, and capital N, yes. And then at the end of the bullet points, the second to last one that starts Council for the Advancement of the South African Constitution and the, you need to add that in, then the next sentence you need to cut out and put the acronym, and it would be, I don't know that you say the IPID attended, the IPID staff, the IPID somebody's staff, what would you put there? But it wasn't the whole of the IPID, so it was the staff management.
Normally we say the department attended, that's what we normally say in the reports. So.
Okay, so that would be correct. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you for 3.
Thank you, Honorable Calabara.
Yes, here, 5, on page 3, financial implications. The committee consulted IPED on the funding of additional functions. I think we should take up the second sentence and indicate that there are no cost implications on the study. Because we say that.
Yeah, okay. So can you just maybe read us in the redrafted paragraph?
But the committee consulted the IPED on the funding of the additional functions. The implementation of the bill do not have any cost implications for the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, anything else on 3?
Chairperson, just to find out if we say the state order will resurrect.
So the department chief, that should be the same.
Colleagues?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mbele.
Can I just be clarified, both the reference in the first sentence of number 5, as well as the last sentence at the bottom, I'm not sure what these additional powers being referred to in the bill, because the bill isn't granting new powers.
On three,
under six, the first bullet point, the defects in the IFID Amendment Act of 2018 can be.
Honourable Marker, can you just give the reference?
The first bullet point says allow Parliament to cure the defects in the IFID.
It says allow Parliament to cure the defects in the IFID Amendment Act 2018. I think it's the way we're reading it. It's not... They're curing the defects by this new thing. They're not saying curing. It's just the way it's being read.
Does it, Jefferson, doesn't it need some punctuation that that can clearly...
Perhaps we could just turn it around. The IFID Amendment Act of 2010 allows Parliament to cure the defect as found in the Constitutional Court, what? Maybe start with the IFID Amendment Act allows Parliament to cure the defects as found in the Constitutional Court judgment. Yes?
This is a recommendation. You've got to read the preceding sentence. The committee recommends that Parliament approves the amendments, which will, in bullet point one, allow Parliament to cure the defects.
Maybe we should say via instead of in. Allow Parliament to cure the defects via the independent.
That's three. Can we go to four? Oh, sorry.
I'm very slow. There is this the amendment that we made in point five, financial implications. The last line, what did we say? I had to honor on that saying that I thought that we would be taking out the remaining amendments, the last line of the first paragraph. Have we agreed on that? Okay, thank you.
Chair, is it not appropriate to put in bullet two under recommendation? Is it not recommendations? Recommendations allow for greater independence of the executive director in fulfilling his or her obligations.
No, let's include that. Colleagues, anything else on three?
The person should it provide for greater independence? Or just independence?
Okay, that's the court one, if I'm correct. That's the words of the court judgment.
See, if there's anything else on three, can we move to four? Right, can we get a proposal for adoption of the report? Anumbele, seconder, Amakalabana, thank you very much. Right, honourable members, then you will have to put then the bill in its totality. Yeah, can we just have it up? honourable members, can we then get a proposal for the adoption of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Bill as presented? Honourable Bula, seconder. Honourable Marquez. Anybody against? No objections.
Chairperson, no objections, but if the record can just note the DA reserves our rights as we must still deliberate in caucus.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. We've come to the end of this process. I want to thank everybody for their participation and consultation. And, of course, we will then ensure that the necessary processes are done in terms of the next steps. We will have to, of course, now take this matter to the Parliamentary Legal Advisor for certification to ensure that it's consistent with the Constitution. And then we will also have to introduce it to the a copy to the Speaker. And, of course, then we'll go to the JTM and then a second reading later. Thank you very much. Members, we will now have a lunch break for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, there's lunch available at the back, and after that we will then continue hopefully with the critical infrastructure bill. Thank you very much.
Sorry.